It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Welcome. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, also known as Doc Smo, broadcasting from Studio 1E in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for joining me today. I developed PEDcast to help parents navigate a myriad of parenting topics ranging from infancy to graduation. In these PEDcasts, I express general observations and opinions that I have developed over a generation of pediatric practice and parenting. I am not providing medical judgments or advice. Let's talk kids with today's topic. Welcome to another episode of DocSmo.com. This is your host, Dr. Paul Smolin. So, you're coming home from the hospital with your brand new baby. And you're a little on the tired side. No. Actually, you are exhausted. Everyone in the hospital wants you to deal with them on their terms. They're always waking you up. The telephone's ringing. Your friends are coming by. Hospitals are a good place to be waited on, but not a really good place to get a lot of sleep and rest. But finally, you're home, in your bed, in your house, and you're really planning on some power sleep. And you're thinking, my baby was so good in the hospital. He or she was really quiet, didn't demand very much, slept a lot. I have the greatest baby ever born. And you're hoping that maybe that quiet bliss will continue. So now it's decision time. You've got to decide if you're going to let your baby set their own feeding schedule, just wake up and tell you when they need to feed, or whether you need to set a schedule for your baby. So I thought it would be interesting for us to discuss that issue today, and I'm going to give you my perspective on that whole controversy. Now remember, we're talking about only the first week of life here, and we're trying to decide, should babies set their own schedule, or should we set a schedule for them in the first week of life? They know when they're hungry, right? They should wake up and feed. Well, let's back up and look at life from your baby's perspective. In the womb, your baby is fed continuously. They are never hungry or thirsty. Your baby has never experienced hunger or thirst before birth and may not know what to do with those feelings when they happen. In the womb, there's no responsibilities. Life is good, man. I can't mess up. I don't have to do anything. They just take care of everything for me. But now your baby is born. After that long and strenuous process, they're exhausted. And if your baby could talk in the first 2 days of life, they probably would say something like, "Wow, I have a headache. I am so tired. Just leave me alone. I just want things to be quiet and stop undressing me. I hate that. And while you're at it, turn down those lights and tell Junior in the crib next to me to stop crying." And that whole sucking thing. I suck so much, but I only get a few drops of milk. Sucking is fun, but not very rewarding. Well, no mind. I'm not very hungry anyway, since I was born with plenty of extra water in my body. But now your baby is 3 to 4 days old. And his or her thinking has totally changed. They're thinking, "Something's not right here. I have this uncomfortable feeling. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I've never been like that before." Well, as they say around North Carolina, time for your baby to fish or cut bait. Time to separate the men from the boys, the divas from the wallflowers. Your baby needs to take some action. Most babies, by the time they're 3 or 4 days old, are starting to get really thirsty and really hungry, and they don't like that feeling. And they will scream, 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 and demand to be fed. And they figure out quickly that that feeling means screaming, which means mom comes, they get fed, and that feeling goes away. But not all babies get it. Some of them are still really sleepy and exhausted from the whole delivery process, and they simply do not respond to these feelings of hunger and thirst. They just keep sleeping. They remain dopey and sleepy and lethargic, like so many babies do in the first 2 days of life. Well, these sleepy babies, they can get into really serious trouble with both dehydration, since they're getting very little fluid in, and jaundice, since milk is not going through their intestines, their poop has no bile in it, and the bile that they do secrete backs up in their blood, and that's what we call newborn jaundice. These sleepy babies, they've already used up their reserve water, their tanks are on empty, and they're not refilling their tanks, and they can become progressively weaker and less demanding. And these sleepy babies' parents, these poor parents, they're thinking, everything's okay. Since Junior isn't demanding to be fed, I guess everything's good. But in reality, their babies are heading for trouble. Hold on one moment. I see a question coming in from Ireland on our Doxmo switchboard.
Doxmo, Marge McCracken here. My little new potato sleep all the time. How do I know if I have one of those sleepy babies you're talking about?
Well, I am glad you asked that question, Marge. Here are some of the signs that your baby may be getting into trouble. Sign one, you don't see wet diapers coming every 4 to 6 hours. This may mean that your baby's dehydrated, and that dehydration can make them even weaker and less likely to demand a feeding. Sign two, your baby is getting more yellow on the 3rd or 4th day of life. We call that jaundice. That means bile backing up in the blood. And bile in your blood in large amounts can make a newborn very sleepy. Again, reducing the chance that they're going to scream and demand to be fed, which will solve their problem. Sign number three is that their poop has not changed from that initial black sticky color that newborns have to either a yellow or green or brown color by the 4th day of life. We like to see that color change because it means that milk is making it through your baby's gut. And the final sign that your baby may be getting into trouble is that their weight has dropped more than 10% of their birth weight. This is something your pediatrician is really on the lookout for because it's usually a clear sign that there's trouble.
Hello, it's Marge again. So, Doc Small, what are your recommendations about feeding my little new potato in her first week of life?
Well, here is what I recommend, Marge. I think you should wake your baby up at least every 3 hours during that first week of life to make sure they're not one of those sleepy babies. And by every 3 hours, I mean every 3 hours. From the beginning of one feeding to the beginning of the next should be no more than 3 hours, which means you're really feeding them about every 2 hours. And try and get your baby checked by your pediatrician or family doctor as close to the 4th day of life as possible. That's the time when babies who are getting into trouble seem to have the most trouble. And make a mental note, if your baby is born on a Thursday, the 4th day of life is Sunday, and that's an extra dangerous day for babies because a lot of doctor's offices are closed on Sunday. Sunday or no Sunday, your baby's going to need to be checked on the 4th day of life if you think they're getting into trouble. You're not seeing that poop and that urine, and they're not waking up to be fed. And if you have a preemie, a baby born 37 weeks of gestation or less, be extra, extra careful. Preemies have trouble with the simplest things. Sometimes they just don't wake up. They don't pay attention. They're just premature babies. And look for those wet diapers every 4 to 6 hours. Lack of urine output should alarm you. And that poop, it should be golden by the 4th day of life. So the bottom line, the take-home message today is lack of stool and lack of urine in a sleepy baby who's difficult to feed could mean trouble in that first week. Make sure you call your pediatrician for help if you think you've got one of these babies. Well, thank you for joining me for another episode of Doc Smo. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, your PEDcast host, broadcasting from the famous Studio 1E in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Queen City. Visit Doc Smo on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, or my website, DocSmo.com. And if you have time or are so inclined, leave a comment. Feel free. That's what blogs are all about. This is Doc Smo, hoping if you have a new little squirt, that they stay well fed and alert. Until next time. This PEDcast would not be possible without the help of the following contributors: Ann Gesner for her editing assistance, Seth Jaffe for providing inspiration and guidance, Dr. David Jaffe for allowing us to use his voice for the introductory voiceover, Dr. Robert Beezer for composing this fantastic bumper music, which is performed by two phenomenally talented young musicians, Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof. Sarah the Wizard Smolin and Ben Smolin for their production assistance. And special thanks to the talented Laurenelle Parnell for providing her international vocal renditions. Thanks, guys.